Well, first, thank you all for taking the time today. I hope either the lunch or this conversation are worth your time in coming. There's something about returning to Harvard that I think makes me want to take a step back from the business of Gather and think about the space where we play and put this in a little bit of context as a starting point. And it's not going to be news to anyone in this room that there's a fundamental change happening in media and communications, and perhaps where the two connect and collide, and that user-driven media, user-created content, is playing a bigger and bigger role in the space. The graph you see here is the one that I think is responsible for Gather receiving funding, which compares the reach or traffic rank. This is an Alexa graph for those joining us on the podcast, comparing MySpace, the NewYorkTimes.com, AOL.com, and CNN.com. And what you see is MySpace, of course, as you might suspect, starting on the bottom left and climbing to the top right over time, passing the New York Times, then CNN, then AOL in reach, happens to be true for rank and page views. And if you dig into the stats a little further, you'd find that MySpace actually also passes all of these, as well as Yahoo and a number of other brands that you might know well, in loyalty or page views per user per month, because users really connect with each other on MySpace, and they're spending more and more of their time sharing ideas, sharing their loves, their passions, whatever they happen to be interested in, on the MySpace site. And MySpace, of course, is only part of this user-driven world. There are, as Technorati tells us, 31 million different blogs now being published online, their stat, about 2 million daily blog entries being published. To take you away from the demo for a moment, I think that the analogy we draw most often at Gather is that user-driven media is today where user-driven retail was in the very early days of eBay. If you go pre-eBay, it was easy for individuals, mom and pops, to go online and set up shop. It turns out that taking a credit card, listing products, and shipping out goods wasn't the hard part. Thousands of people on platforms like ViaWeb or iCat did exactly that. The challenge was that from a customer perspective, it was really hard to find the stores that you wanted, because there were so many of them out there, even using search tools, you couldn't find the stores you wanted. If you found the stores you wanted, you didn't know if you could trust them. There was no system for identifying stores that were going to deliver the goods and weren't. And if you decided to take a leap and trust someone, you couldn't easily comparison shop to make sure you were getting the right goods and the best of breed at the price that was right for you. Well, these are some of the main problems that we see today in user-driven media. There are 31 million different blogs being published today, 2 million different pieces of content. But I'm willing to wager that most of the folks here don't want to read the average quality posting being made online today. And even if we were to pick out a topic that you're passionate about, whether or not it's politics, food, wine, travel, or anything else under the sun, you don't want to read all of the content published today either. So the question very quickly becomes, how do we take the next steps in user-driven media and do what eBay did in user-driven retail? And what eBay did, in hindsight, is to build a platform that linked buyers and sellers to let the sellers organize the auctions that were being sold so that you could easily browse through all of the sales of boats, all of the sales of novelty items, all of the sales today of iPods, PCs, whatever it happens to be. You could comparison shop. And let community ranking or community evaluation demonstrate credibility, create easy access to those buyers and those sellers with whom you'd want to do business. To take it back to the media side, today it's easy to publish content. It's free. It's easy to set up your own blog. There are lots of places to do it. But the question is, how do you drive community-driven organization and make it functional for those that have relatively little technical knowledge? And how do you drive community-driven evaluation so that instead of seeing the average content being published, you see the best-of-breed stuff, the stuff that the community has selected as really interesting and novel? And then how do you find the intersection of these two things so you can find the best content on politics or the best content on food or the best content on poetry or parenting or whatever your passion happens to be? Gather seeks to do these things, exactly these things, and frankly to combine each of these technologies to make it accessible to an audience that doesn't know technology well. To give you the quick walkthrough, Gather, of course, has a publishing system. On Gather, you can publish right now articles or photography. And as you might suspect, there's an editor where you can enter an article. The next step, of course, is community-driven organization. So blogging or publishing, not enough. You need to be able to get the community to organize the content that's being created. And once the community's done that, you want to also enable people to publish into spaces that make sense. So you can either publish content on Gather for everyone, for just select people, or for select groups of people as well as organizations that you may belong to. And finally, we've added the ability because we... And I'll pass these around for anyone who hasn't received one. Because we are a company that believes strongly in the First Amendment, if you flip my card over, you'll see, just to remind members of the Gather team of that every day, we keep a copy of it on every business card for every associate of the company. We let people publish whatever content they want, but we do ask community members to be responsible in protecting other members of the community by identifying when they published content that might be more appropriate for mature audiences.
You show seven communities?
Yes.
Where do those communities come from?
Gather also allows users to organize groups. We launched our groups technology in the middle of last month. Anyone who wants to can organize a group. It can be for any purpose. We have primarily user-created groups to date. The largest user-created group here is documentaryfilm.gather.com. It has 246 members, was formed by Cynthia C. in Watertown, Massachusetts, and was created, as you can see, February 15th. The purpose of a group is to allow a focused set of Gather members to create and share content that might be interesting to them, in this case on documentary films. If you hop into the create group space, you'll see that groups can be public or private, moderated or unmoderated, that membership can be open to the public, can be moderated, that is, you can apply for membership and be approved or by invitation only, and that the permissions within the group can be assigned as well. So you can assign content moderation to members of the group. You can assign member moderation or acceptance to members of the group, et cetera. The reason that groups are important on Gather and what we've seen happening is it's another content filter where you effectively delegate content filtering to a trusted set of moderators. And it makes sure that you've got very focused content on the topic that you want. It, in fact, is a good way to combat things like tag spam if you're really interested in the topic and you want to create a focused group of contributors. We've also seen people begin to form publishing groups on Gather that are public for readership but not membership. So that if you wanted to have a discussion forum where, let's say, Berkman fellows or Berkman fellows and past speakers could contribute ongoing thoughts, you could do that, allow it to be a public forum that people could explore and read, but not necessarily a forum that might receive content from broader sources. Gather users can also, when you find content that you think is particularly interesting, connect with other Gather users. So you can keep track of the content that you find interesting by subscribing to users or by connecting with them as friends or family and therefore getting special access to their content and giving them special access to yours if you'd like.
Can you bring other content in if I like some content that was on
Dave's good blog?
Or Suicide Girls. Can I bring that in to share with some of my people on it?
There are two things that we are working on. Thanks, Larry. One is the ability for authors to bring in their content from other sources. We are actively working on an RSS pickup, which will take content, full article content from other sources and drop it into Gather so that it can exist in the community. The reason for that is that we've got a number of active bloggers that want to publish on Gather because we drive, in many cases, more traffic to their content than they see. And the second piece is that we're going to begin to allow the Gather community to do bookmarking of off-site content for discussion, where we pick up synopses and allow commenting and community to form around off-site content. This is more of a dig-like model. And again, you'll be able to see bookmarks based on how they're tagged, bookmarks based on what your friends are reading and bookmarking, so more delicious in that case, or navigate through based on what are the top-ranked bookmarks in a tag, top-ranked bookmarks in a group on any given day. Let me walk through user organization then. We allow Gather members to tag content, and you can see that we've had more than 36,000 tags used on the website already. They're very different if you look at what tags are being used for images versus articles. We have a single unified tagging system, though, so if you go to gather.com/food to see all things that are tagged by gather.com/food, and I'll wait for our network to catch up here. You'll see articles and images and eventually podcasts and videos, all of which are on the food topic. Just to glance down the article tags, you'll see that people are publishing here on everything from politics to humor to life to poetry to love to family. The What's Being Viewed tag mirrors pretty closely, and we didn't know if it would, which is why we provide all three lists, What's Being Discussed, and differs in some ways from what's being published, where you'll see poetry, politics, humor, and love.
Did you say there are 36,000 unique tags?
It's 36,000 unique tags in the system, yeah. And some of those are specialty tags that are being used by individual users for creating their own space on Gather.
Where's sports and sex?
You know, we haven't had sports and sex climb up yet, and we're going to be recruiting in both of those areas, but probably sports first, based on board feedback.
I have a question. You may have answered this before, but the stuff on Gather, can people link to it permanently from outside the network?
Yeah, frankly, the URLs are permalinks, though we have... Yes, it is. Most of the... Well, content can be published either publicly or privately. So
right.
When you publish an article, you can decide to make it available for everybody, at which point it's available without subscription or membership.
Right.
So if you're logged out of Gather, the content still is visible on...
So it can hook in with the rest of the blogosphere, in other words.
That's right.
You can't comment, though.
You need to be a Gather member to comment. That's right.
That's true.
Yeah. Although it is more of a light registration process like you see on many of the blog systems to prevent spam, comment spam from coming on.
Are you building it on Linux?
Sorry?
Building it on Linux?
The back end? We actually don't talk about the back end publicly, but yeah. No. Candidly, we actually use a lot of open source, including open source tools in constructing the site. If you drill into any topic area, gather.com/food, gather.com/politics, you will see the articles that have been published under those tags. The first thing you see at the top of the site is editor's picks. This is something that David Cooperstein and his team is responsible for. This is really our attempt to pick out the creme de la creme. Candidly, we found that our ranking systems are good at differentiating between the top 5% and the bottom 95%, or the top 10% and the bottom 90%, but not picking out the top tenth of a point from the top 1%. And until we get algorithms that do that, we're going to continue to pull out stuff that we think is interesting. And also to use the editor's picks to find new authors that are coming on the site that we think might not be discovered as quickly otherwise. Across the top of the food page here, you'll see the most related tags to food, cooking, recipes.
Can I pause one second?
Sure.
On the editor's picks, have you noticed that that works when you pick something? It does drive the kind of traffic, and that often gets swept up into something where people are...
It's true.
It does work.
Editor's picks are absolutely driving traffic to an author's page. Yeah.
It's my experience, personally.
Yeah. And we've seen the comments be much higher on editor's picks.
But you can't be bought.
But you can't be bought. Try as I might. And you can navigate through related tags. I'm navigating through cooking, which then linked through to recipes. You can link through from there to organic or chicken or family. And this is a... flowing, if you will, zeitgeist of those publishing on Gather. And when you're ready, you can drill into any one of the articles. Also on any of these tag pages, we show what the community has selected. And we show community selection based on what's rated most highly, based on what is viewed most highly, read most frequently, and also what is most commented on, which in some areas like politics tends to indicate the most controversial topics. In others, is just another sign of interest by the user base.
Tom, are you seeing any trends on video visual versus text growing any faster, less fast, combinations?
We just launched a better imaging publishing system, Larry, in the middle of last month, and we've seen images and publishing of images really skyrocket with that in place. We are also seeing comments climb very rapidly. I think publishing an article is a higher... I shouldn't minimize article publishing. We get hundreds of articles published by members every day, and it's been climbing significantly every month. But the trend is that photos and comments are climbing even faster than article publishing. And I think that's probably because of the investment you've got to make in publishing an article and it being higher.
Will audio and video function relatively the same?
Yeah, we think that there are different ways to show previews for audio and video, particularly video where you can do storyboarding. Audio clips, a little bit tougher for users to set up, but we do want to have some kind of preview technology for audio, but similar organizational systems, yeah, and on a single standard tag system so people can dig in and share on whatever their passion happens to be.
So when do you think you might be handling podcasts?
Stay tuned. Yeah, middle of the year is the target for that.
Okay.
Yeah, middle of the year is the target for that. The question we've got on audio playback is, should it be podcasts? Should it be a series of streaming files that we can set up for a user based on their preferences or what their friends and family are recommending to them, or a combination thereof? And I think we're going to move toward a combination based on what we're currently experiencing, because people do want to have a streaming player that travels along with them in their online experience, and we'd want to make that available off-gather. And last, obviously, we let people go in and see what's happening in their specific world. So you can go in and see what your network is publishing and what your network activity is as well. So I can drill in and see who I'm connected to, what my groups happen to be, and explore their content in addition.
Say more about what a network is.
Yep. So we let users connect with other users. So in this case, I can go in and connect with people that are my family, my friends, my colleagues. We've set up three standard network types or connection types as family, friends, and colleagues, because you want to be able to surf around connection networks. So you can surf your colleagues to your colleagues to your colleagues to your colleagues, your friends to your friends to your friends, etc. And we let users publish their content to subsets of their audience. So if you go in and you can see that I can publish an article that only my friends can see, only my colleagues can see, only my family can see, or just to a specific group, as opposed to content that's available more broadly to the entire world. So my tom.gather.com page shows all of my content. But if I log out, you'll see, let me just pick one out, that's Speaking Truth to Power. This is an article that I published for our company internally to encourage dissent and to encourage Gather members to come up and view and frankly disagree in a polite, constructive way so that we get the breadth of perspective both from our team members as well as our community. Well, that's something I published for our company only. And you can see that now it's not visible when I'm logged out, but it is something that's visible when I'm logged in. Additionally, there are there are groups on Gather, like company.gather.com.
For you.
Yeah?
Okay.
Sure.
The readings, are they anonymous?
Yes. Ratings on all Gather articles?
Popular.
What's that?
You're very popular. I'm assuming that's out of, yeah.
It is a 10 out of 10, yeah. And you'll find that the longer I've got something published, the lower it goes. I think that the...
Generally, the average rating for a political article that says anything significant is basically 5.5 per every even number.
That's right.
Rating.
That's a great point, Shava. I mean, there are areas where we need to look at the content that's being published, and we need to separate out ratings. So let me drive in the next step. Each Gather article, once you go beyond content community organization and community evaluation, you want to have, community evaluation, which is ratings, you then want to have a system where you're displaying, based on community evaluations, the top content. One of the things we've identified is, first, that there are areas like politics where people are rating based on whether or not they agree with an article rather than based on the quality of thought. And so we're developing algorithms that pull out articles that have the highest standard deviation. And for certain tag areas, we'll be showing you standard deviation rather than top ratings to show you where we've got people that are in disagreement. The Terry Schiavo case is a good example. There wasn't a single article on the Terry Schiavo case in our early test bed that was rated above a 6 or below a 4, because you either agreed with the article or disagreed with the article, and you either rated a 1 or 10 because you felt so passionately if you were spending time reading about a Right to Die case. We're beginning to deal with we're beginning to focus on issues that are, I think, taking things to the next level at Gather, which is letting our community really own the community. How do you move from an online community to an online society? Well, you've got to start to think about things like letting the community drive infrastructure selection. So I've launched a public group open to members at improve.gather.com that is an open forum where people can tell us what they like, what they hate, what we're doing well, what we're doing poorly, and what they would most want to see. It's also a forum where we actively solicit opinions. This is just a few days old. But here, this was a basic question. We had a lot of debate about it internally. Do you, A, air your dirty laundry, and B, show your competitors the wealth of information that your community is bringing up? What's most powerful? And we decided to come down on the side of believing that the benefit to Gather far outweighs the potential risk to Gather, in the sense that our community knowledge and open discussion calls out the things that we need to improve in a way that simply focus groups or surveys would not. And we believe that because our community is going to be driving our development and helping us to prioritize our development with some decision support tools that we plan to roll out, we'll benefit by being able to provide better and better product much more quickly to them. If you come on together, you'll also see that community enforcement is an increasing focus. So we have people that are publishing in false tags. So tag spam is a problem. We had a handful of users that were publishing adult content and not classifying it as adult. We have users that are, since we launched a messaging system, abusing the messaging system and sending out broadcast messages to hundreds of people asking those people to rate their articles most highly or read their articles so they can appear at the top of the system. This is happening because, in part, we promote those readers. That is, we show readers that are highest rated and highest traffic on the top of a list, so it increases their readership. And also because Gather compensates our users based on the quality and the popularity of what they write.
Did you
show
one of those with Alan
Dershowitz?
Did you get a PR firm?
Yeah, George Will.
And we share our ad revenue back with users based on their quality and popularity. So we, in fact, give them a financial incentive to promote themselves. And so we're beginning to build in community enforcement mechanisms, things like the ability to flag an article as inappropriate. That calls things out for David Cooperstein. We're going to make the flagging system better, flagging for things like misuse of copyrighted content so that we can pull those things down for abusive content. We're going to begin to make comments rated. Yes, sorry.
I was wondering, in terms of financial incentives, do you allow, if members cost post?
Yep.
So for example, if you don't have the RSS feed right now,
yep.
If I were to post an entry on my blog and then here,
yep.
That doesn't alter in any way the compensation.
No, that's right. We encourage cross-posting. We think it's a great thing. One of my favorite cross-posters is a guy named Kevin Weeks. Kevin's a chef, an active Gather member, and does, frankly, a gorgeous job photographing the food that he's prepared. He runs his own blog at seriouslygood.com. Kevin does a great job. This is his typical posts, and let me try to pick out. Chicken piccata is a good one, or Tuscan chicken. His typical post is going to show the food in context, beautiful photography, the recipe, and then he's good about responding to comments. And usually you get questions. So, geez, I've never been able to attain a liking for capers. Can you suggest something? Sure. Mm-hmm. So Kevin's an active Gather member, but we also let him link back to his own blog because, candidly, we're not trying to create a completely enclosed platform here. We aren't trying to force people into registration. We make content available broadly to unregistered users. We let people link off to their own content. We do ask that people publish complete thoughts or complete content on the site because otherwise it degrades the experience. And in fact, we're going to allow flagging for partial content as one of our flagging enhancements as well on the system. Similarly, as soon as we launched messaging, we saw some of the early email behavior that we'll remember from 93, 94, 95 happening, where people were forwarding everything to everyone they know or reply all, and you'd get 15 reply alls to a message. We're encouraging good behavior, and we've temporarily removed the reply all button as of about 5 a.m. this morning to prevent the bounce back reply all messages from making people crazy after a little member feedback that we need to educate our community before letting that functionality out of the box or restricting reply alls.
What are the advertising metrics and what's been the response of advertisers?
Yeah. We've just begun selling advertising actively. Almost all of the advertisers on the system found us and signed up using advertising.gather.com, which is a CPC, advertiser.gather.com. I always click on the link. Sorry, advertiser.gather.com. And the response has been great from those that are advertising, with the exception that they'd like to see more traffic. Gather, having launched in mid-November, is in the millions of page views. Yeah, CPC, that's right. It's a CPC model. So groups like Citibank, Signals Catalog, a number of different travel players are beginning to advertise. And the difference in advertising on Gather versus a Google Ads or a Yahoo Ads system is that instead of targeting content to the specific page a user's on, we build an anonymous advertising profile that looks at the totality, the recency and frequency of their content interests, and show them the right ads based on their recent content interests on the site. So you might look at Vegas and travel 5 or 6 articles in a row and then surf off to daycare, and you'll still see Vegas ads because it's the right ad to show you.
Does that include the content of your articles that you publish?
It does. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're doing some behavioral stuff.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It comes out of the roots of my last business, Be Free, which was an affiliate marketing company. Yep. Yeah.
Before you talked about encouraging people's behavior, I'm wondering how much of that happens through the infrastructure and the architecture of the site, and how much of that happens, I wouldn't say, the primary site. So, for example, between perhaps communication between employees and Gather and members of Gather.
Yeah. Thanks, sorry. I think it became really evident to us early on that we were going to be unable to be the primary organizing function around Gather and the primary enforcement function around Gather. The community is simply growing too fast, and the from an organizing perspective, content has grown too fast. We'll never be able to feature the best stuff on every topic under the sun with 36,000 topics. Or keyword tags now being posted, we can't call out the best stuff. So we're focused on building things that enable our community to do that. Community-driven functionality is a key aspect. Community-driven enforcement is a key aspect. We're also going to be launching Gather Stewards. And this is something that one of our board members, Jim Manzi, has been talking to us about for a couple of months. The idea that the community needs to set community standards but also play a community enforcement role. And this, again, going from community to society, where you let the community decide what's appropriate behavior and what's not appropriate behavior, and you let select members of the community, like we do juries, arbitrate between others. We don't think our job is to run this community, but rather to enable this community. And we'll do some of this work until we can enable it, because we've got to create a good experience. But as soon as we can hand this stuff off to Gather members, we want to do that. Yeah.
How scalable do you think that is long term? Like, at what point do you think membership and publication rates will exceed internal capacity to do editors'
picks? We already can't keep track of every piece of content that's published on the site, which is why we rely on our users to call good stuff out for us. Mm-hmm. Our editors are often reading the best of lists on Gather to find good content, and again, try to call out the top 0.1% from the top 10%. And that's doubly true when you look at things like photography or comments. It's very hard to algorithmically determine what's an adult photo versus what's an artistic photo versus what's a photo of cheese. And so we ask our methods of protecting users from content they don't want to see is, or shouldn't be seeing for younger users, is first to ask the author to do it and be responsible. Second, to have the community flag where there's been a violation, and if repeated violation, we'll take action against the user. But that's entirely user-driven. From a comment perspective, one of the areas where we know we need to drive more value is in commenting. And if you look at the articles on the site and you look at the comments being made, you'll see that some of them are really high quality. I mean, the content published on Gather is one of the things that we one of our first proof points was, would people publish great stuff? Would there be really interesting content? We had no idea, and so our early investors were very pleased to see the quality of content being published here. The second thing is, would they respond in meaningful ways? And if you go in and say, what are the most commented on articles this week? You'll see comments are all over the board. Some of them are helpful. Some of them are rude. Some of them are thoughtful. Others of them are not worth reading because they're just not informative. And so we're now looking heavily at our commenting system and seeing how to apply some of the same technology to bring better discussion beneath the articles up as well. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering too, like, for me as a user, over time I'm going to be able to read less and less, so although I'll, for example, flag certain things
sure.
for myself, I'm not going to do it as often
right.
comparatively. Yep. So I was wondering, in terms of user comment yep. Systems, and how do you scale that as well over the long term?
This might be too thin, the
right.
comments,
because yeah. I wonder, for example, I might just then dive into particular communities, and then I want to know, out of everything out there, what are the top picks per issue category.
Right.
But other than that, I'm not going to be able to.
So we're letting people subscribe to data content on Gather for notification purposes. We're also going to begin to let users subscribe using RSS to individual authors, mm-hmm. to tags. So you can see the top articles published on any given tag, so you can more quickly survey what's available, see if this answers your question, and to groups, so that you can see everything that's being published in groups that you may want to join for quick surveying. from a commenting perspective, we intentionally want to focus user attention on the best content that's being written on a topic in a given day, week, or month, because we don't want to spread comments across mediocre articles, and we don't want your experience to be seeing the entire breadth of what's written. Again, even in Gather, where we think we've attracted, particularly through our early public radio partnership and through partnerships with groups like Houghton Mifflin, a relatively engaged, informed demographic, there are articles that that you don't want to read. So we want to focus the community on any given topic into the best stuff, into the most interesting stuff that they're going to find on the topic, and we want to focus comments and discussion around those topics. And frankly, we have an incentive to do that too, because we want to reward the best authors. You don't want to reward all authors equally. We don't pay people just on hitting publish, because we'd be spreading payments based on activity rather than based on the value created by a given publisher.
Which is why, that makes the issue even that much more interesting, which is over time, if more and more people are on Gather and publishing through Gather,
right,
and then if people are not able to rate as many articles comparatively, percentage-wise as before, how does that affect the rating system, and then how does that affect people's financial incentive to publish using
Gather? We're seeing our audience grow and our ratings grow at the same rate as our publishing is growing. In fact, a little bit ahead of our publishing rate. So I think I don't see that yet as a problem. I think the community selection is already in effect work.
That's an interesting
working
point.
One of the things that, two things we're looking at. One is you don't want to have the community rate the same bad author again and again. So we're considering assigning to an article de facto rankings based on the average quality ranking of an author in a given space. So if you are normally writing at a 3 level instead of a 10 level, your average article will appear as a likely 3. And we can do that based on the tag. So if you're writing really good stuff on parenting and really bad stuff on wine, we can bias your ranking before people see your stuff so that they're less likely to see bad articles an author writes and more likely to see good articles that they write. From a new author perspective, we're going to be kicking off in our editorial. Our editorial team is going to be kicking off a Discover group, which is going to be a place where the community can call out individuals that might not have been discovered that are worthy of editorial identification. And we may need to have some look at the at breaking up the systemic biases that begin to happen. That is, the most read political authors today, because they show up at the top of lists, will be the most read political authors tomorrow. And we've begun to do that by trying out, you'll see in a couple of places on the site, listings of movers and shakers. So you can see the articles that are gaining momentum most quickly on the website. And those are ways we're beginning to experiment with that stuff. But still TBD.
The editorial team does is go out and we look at the community writings and find what's best, but then we also go through recent articles on a fairly consistent basis to see what's new. Mm-hmm. And we go do that both by what we publish, and also if we look at the most recent members on the site, if somebody's published something, is a new member and they've published recently, we'll look at that article and read it and see if it's something that's worthy of the community getting exposed to. So the human factor on it is really important, because just having the ratings and the commentary would put all of the control out into the field, and then you write it would basically be just a collection of the 50 top people sort of praising each other.
And you can see on the homepage, for example, under community picks, you can see the movers and shakers, that is, those that are climbing most quickly today, this week, this month, from an article perspective in member views. And this is registered member views that we show.
I have a question about the ability of members of the Gather community to have an impact beyond the Gather community.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there are several parts to that. One has to do with, to what extent are people reading the content on Gather members of the community, and to what extent are they just random other people coming to Gather content from outside who aren't necessarily community members?
Yep.
Probably three part. And then the second part is, to what extent are people from outside the Gather community linking to Gather content? So,
yep.
For instance, have you ever had any Instapundit links, that kind of thing? Third is, what is your sense, if I'm a blogger, and I want to have maximum impact on the public discourse generally, am I better off setting up my own blog and linking around to all the people I want listening to me and having an impact on the discourse that way, or am I better off blogging on Gather.com, and will that help me to impact the public discourse more effectively than just blogging on my own, or will it bring me into a walled garden where I impact members of the community more but not necessarily the general public more? And I guess maybe a fourth part of that, sorry, just has to do with, to what extent have you felt that content on your site has been impacting discussions elsewhere? So, for instance, to what extent has a meme or an issue or a thread that's come up on Gather been picked up by mainstream media, has it resulted in some stories on some NPR stations, or has it resulted in other parts of the blogosphere picking up on it and saying, yeah, so-and-so makes a really good point there on that Gather blog, and, you know, somebody's got to do something about this, and then resulting in a larger public kind of discussion of it, resulting in this thing going up that curve that we all talk about, the long tail going up to middle casting and broadcasting. So, you know, just where is Gather.com living in this kind of media ecosystem, and how does a member of Gather.com get their content sort of into the mass discourse?
Okay. Great questions, all right. And let me dive in.
Why would I want to be? You know, I mean, effectively, so, if I want to make a difference, am I better off doing it from within Gather or on my own?
Yeah. So, and I think I was going to suggest actually that we do that. That Shava, who blogs on her own and is an active Gather member, kick in on this topic. First, let me say, we're not a walled garden. More than 90% of Gather's content's available to people that are not registered members. They can go to username.gather.com, so tom.gather.com in my case, david.gather.com for David Cooperstein, et cetera, for the thousands of Gathered members who are publishing today. Members can choose to make their content available privately to individuals or groups, but that's their choice, and typically that's happening with things like family photography.
Right.
It's happening also we've got a few companies that are setting up private groups as company intranet, very cheap company intranets. It's happening for that as well.
Yeah, and I understand that there's definitely going to be groups that are going to be private, and that I totally understand. I just understand the extent to which the part that wants to be public is able to.
Yep. Let me hit the next pieces. So we definitely see, we wanted to first create a community and understand the community. That was step one for us. We intend to and are taking steps to better integrate into the blog ecosphere. The ways you'll see us do that are RSS pickup, RSS deployment. We're beginning to ping Technorati. In fact, we ran our first few hours of Technorati pings, and as a courtesy, pulled those off just a little bit earlier this morning because Gather has so much interlinking that our articles were appearing relatively high, and things like lists of articles were appearing relatively high in Technorati results, and we didn't want to be bad citizens, so we have pulled those off until we can work with the Technorati team to avoid what are links that you'll see like these,
so
recommended articles,
right. So
tag links. Right, so these were being picked up.
Outside.
Well, I mean, it's
the site does a lot.
So, for example, Technorati picks up as part of the content for this article or the links going out of this article all of these tags.
Right, I see.
And what was happening is we were getting all of the articles on the recipes page listed as other blog entries because they happen to be listed on the top of a Gather blog page. So, we are in the process, though, and we'll have that fixed shortly. So, we're going to be pinging Technorati. We, what we believe Gather does, again, I think the question is probably best seen in the analogy to eBay, right? Is it better to have an eBay account and be selling on eBay or be selling on your own site? The answer is you should probably do both for a while and see what works for you. Gather is going to build credibility. Gather is going to build audience for all except the early 1,000 investors who've been able to build a brand in the space, some of whom are at this table, obviously, that are going to help people reach a much broader audience than they would if they were just publishing on their own and trying to be seen among the millions and millions of bloggers out there. And Gather is going to provide an economic infrastructure that supports those that do develop an audience and a brand. Can people do it alone on their own? Sure. Sure, there are different models out there, but we think we'll help them to do it much more effectively with less effort if they're contributing good content and they can focus on content creation. But let me ask Shava to perhaps comment on that, and I'll come back to a couple of your questions as well on offsite impact in just a second.
Well, first let me tell you a little bit about how I found Gather. A friend of mine who reads my blog sat there and said, you know, where I had previously griped about the fact that the blogosphere was full of 25-year-olds who were tragically hip and thought the Verizon guy was a fashion plate, you know, and as a woman who is going to turn 47 this year and has been online for 25 years, and my first blog was net.women on Usenet in the very early 80s, I find much of the blogosphere really insufferable and incestuous and condemnatory to outsiders, and there's all sorts of aspects.
That depends on how you define the blogosphere. I mean, you can hang out in the Middle Eastern blogosphere and it'll be very...
Right, but as a whole, I mean, it's amazing how the people who believe that they are the people who are setting opinions in this world are people, you know, and obviously I'm a person of very little opinion, right? You know, I'm not a person who has opinions, but the people who think that they're making opinions in the blogosphere have no history.
Right.
And this is something that bothers me as an older person.
Yeah,
so I get this link to a story, actually, it's a story I think in the Herald rather than the Globe, not so glowing but a little bit more structural. And it sat there and said, hey, look, blogging community for people like who listen to NPR and maybe even are like grown-ups. And I went, hot damn! You know, to me, Gather is a place where I can post something and get a jury of my peers, which does not exist in any other context that I have visited in the blogosphere. Not my friends, you know, not people who are interested in politics or in how to make really good horseradish, but whoever is interested in the many things that I am passionate about. So that's what brought me here, was the community. And what I did was I put a notice on my blog, and I just sat there and said, wondering where I am? Go here. And I just pointed everybody to Gather. In the interim, I have since gone and since I heard that they were doing RSS, I've installed WordPress on my own domain, and I'm planning to set up my own domain and syndicate it into Gather when I get there. But the thing about this stuff in terms of impact being internal or external is that I think that that's going to change radically when we do get hooked into Technorati, when we can have RSS. The most common comment that I've gotten from anybody who I've talked to who blogs is, you know, why can't I get a feed of your stuff anymore?
Yeah.
I don't want to go and be sticky. It's icky.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want you in my
RSS
aggregator.
Feed, they don't exist for me, basically.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So the site's no longer in beta, but it is in its early stages, and it is going rather interestingly and with some growing pains from Web 1.0 in beta to Web 2.0 as it adds features. It's never going to probably look like a Web 2.0 site for a long time because it's actually, I assume this is kind of consciously, appealing to people who are not early adopters necessarily in the web context. And I'm comfortable with that. You know, those are my people, despite the fact that I've been there for a long time.
But the other thing I wanted to address is my personal experience of the, you know, press dispersion issue, the blog dispersion issue, in that I have gotten many fewer people sending me email across the internet, across, you know, or you know, the general stuff. I've lost a lot of my audience from my old blog because I haven't been able to RSS it, but I'm making a bet on these people because I like who they're attracting. But on the other hand, I published an article 2.5 weeks ago on a controversy that's going on in the press, which I've talked about at the Berkey Bloggers, having to do with the Islamic Society of Boston basically getting smacked from two directions by a controversy here having to do with the Boston Redevelopment Authority and a number of right-wing Jewish groups and all this kind of stuff. I got Margot Adler's attention, who passed it on to Tovia Smith. Public Radio in Maine picked it up and is investigating the story.
So public radio stations are following conversations on Gather? Oh, yeah.
I would say that there's some of that. Certainly for the Maine story, that's true. In the case of Margot Adler, I used to be on a board with her, and I sent her a link to my... I constantly send out, you know, email on lists that are lists of interest to me, and sit there and say, and I wrote this story, here's the first, you know, essentially manual RSS via email list.
Mm.
And I'm sending out stuff to the site that way. I don't know how many other people do that.
We've certainly had a couple of, probably 3 or 4 reporters coming on together, asking to track down Gather members. Mm-hmm. To interview them on topics on which the members have been publishing on Gather. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to contact the member and find out if they wish to be contacted and put them in touch. I think when you think about impact, there are a couple of different things that I also want to call out. One is the ability for a broad source network to reach an audience. Kristen Henderson is a writer on Gather, and she's also was, what, a post columnist or freelance... Stringer for the Washington Post. She was embedded in Iraq, and she was publishing on Gather from Iraq. And she's been writing pieces that are out in the field and being able to answer questions that are out in the field. And what she's using Gather for is to write pieces that the Post isn't going to publish, that are either more personal. So what happens when mom and dad are out at war? And what's the family experience when both of your parents are called up for duty? Or... what do the troops in the field think of the war? What are their honest perspectives? And she might not get the column inches in the Post, but this is a way for her to reach a broader audience, and she's doing that on Gather. And Gather groups is also a thing that I think is going to be a very powerful piece. And we just launched this a couple of weeks ago, I guess just about a month ago now. But we're seeing groups form that are issue-focused. We're seeing groups form that are... we've got a couple of private groups that are about to launch that are draft candidate groups, that are campaign support groups, that are stop this campaign from being elected groups. So doing online perhaps what Meetup did in the last election offline. Here's one, Social Justice, that's really focused on creating discussion around social issues. Matthew Nelson, in this case, someone I know, is a... Div School student here at Harvard. He's got 132 members, and it's one of the, you know, there are forums, no doubt, out there where you can publish an article like an essay on patriarchal repressive authoritarianism, but most of those forums are here on this campus and on a few others like it around the country, and you're not going to get readership, much less discussion, around some of these topics. And this is a space where Matthew is trying to engage, I think, a thought leader audience that is discussing topics that are contemporary but that have an ethical foundation. David. Sorry.
Are you planning on making video available?
Yeah, audio and video are definitely.
Okay, and in terms of people getting paid after they've submitted something, is there any mechanism for people to raise money before putting together something, like your document film group?
Great question. So Gather Points is our current compensation mechanism. We're also going to let users that are earning above $100 a month get a different type of compensation called cash, which is going to kick off in the middle of April for us. That's really for professional writers and organizations for whom points and spending products won't be as interesting. We're going to allow the donation of both points and cash or contribution or transfer between members on Gather. Technologically, that's relatively easy. From a tax perspective and figuring out what we need to do from a reporting perspective, it's a little bit more difficult. Those are issues we tackled at BeFree for broad bases of thousands of affiliates, so we know the space well. We just have to figure out exactly what it means if a user earns points on Gather and donates them to their favorite public radio station. Was that earning and charitable donation, or did nothing happen? Those are things we're working with some tax attorneys and accountants on now.
So if somebody in the documentary filmmakers wants to try and raise a bit of money to put together a film,
they can solicit within the group, or they can solicit in an article and ask for contributions starting a little bit later this year. Yeah.
Do you have any data on your demographics and sort of what the breakdown is?
We're starting to get it, yes. Yeah. We just ran our report.
What your target demographic might be?
We thought we would mirror the public radio demographic because that's been our first promotional engine. We're actually skewing a little bit younger. Typical Gather users are 25 to 55. Mixed gender. I think last I looked, it was about 55-45 female to male in the last report we ran. Income level, we don't have a good feeling on. Education level, we don't have a good feeling on. People are disclosing that. We just haven't built the reporting for it yet.
Do you have a sort of like a power law phenomenon in particular groups that over periods of time certain voices become more prominent and then people go there?
I think that's definitely happening. So if you just drill in
through tag categories, would it be?
Exactly. So if you go into any different tag area, you're going to see a list of the users. We don't only organize content this way, we organize members this way. So you'll see top members on who's received the most comments, who's written the most comments, or who's most prolific, who's written the most articles,
yeah.
But also the highest rated. And these are clearly very different folks than the most prolific.
A lot of those are writing within the conservative group for the conservative group, and that's why they're getting highest rated in college.
That's right.
Yeah, we've seen an interesting ebb and flow with the who's dominant on the site at one time. Sometimes the conservatives are more powerful, and then the liberals will come on and combat them, and then they'll rise in the curve a bit, and then it'll go back and forth. So it's sort of interesting to watch where the power struggle lies. I'm sure as we get bigger, we'll leave it.
Right. And the liberals are convinced that there are more conservatives on the site, and the conservatives are convinced that there's more liberals on the site.
That's right. Yeah. We're being regularly attacked, I think, from both sides, so we feel like we're... or in the appropriate spot.
Or do they break into their own little groups? I mean, they become
A little bit of both. They'll comment on each other's groups, but they also like to congregate and agree with each other.
That's right. So there is, if you look, we also organize groups by tag. So this isn't particularly well called out on the page, but there are groups that are interested in politics. And the Conservative Club, for example, has just begun to form. Democracy Matters has just begun to form. And you'll see others, Liberal Ohioans, just begun to form. So these are all politically focused.
It's totally it, right?
Exactly. These are...
Just curious, but so how did you build your... I mean, how big is the audience now? How many people do you...
20,000 registered members, about 150,000 weekly readers.
Since uniques. November. And how did that build up? I mean, was it just...
A little bit of promotion on public radio, a little bit of promotion on lists, and then mostly organically. It's mostly members inviting members. That's our fastest growth.
Is there a demographic? In parts of the country?
All 50 states. No, we're in all 50 states. We're in 20 different countries now. It mirrored where we had public radio promotion, but it's begun to map almost exactly to population centers. And we've got members in Iowa, members in Montana, all six of them.
But you have any of the idea of skewing anything? I mean, just
no. Again, it really is
network effects. So how that sort of
tracking by state population. Mm-hmm. Pretty largely. In fact, you know, if it's helpful, we may be able to get some anonymized data that might be interesting to watch invitations. Yeah, we can talk to you about it.
There's no reason to think that a site should be successful building community and building high-quality content. You've seen me focused on using community in order to build high-quality content.
That's right. Publishing community evaluation, that's right.
So a power law distribution for articles for you would be a sign of success. Because it would mean that you're getting lots and lots of readers. The best content has been identified.
Done. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And that actually probably hurts community. So
explain again for me.
Exactly.
If you get the power law distribution, so a few articles are being highly read, you manage to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
what is chaff? Right.
Which means that your readers can be more effective in finding what they want, because they're all finding stuff they like.
Right.
They're staying away from stuff they don't like.
Right.
But the power law distribution probably discourages community because it discourages people who are in it because they're getting compensated if they get viewed, they're getting the reputation, and just the jollies of being viewed that we all like. They're not making it into the head of the curve, so it may discourage the sort of community that would emerge at a site with a different set of aims.
Make a difference as to whether you're looking for only one united gather community or lots of little pocket.
Right.
Community.
Yeah.
Many power laws. That's right.
My sense of how you want to use like community when you're looking at lots of the power laws, well, lots of little tiny nodes in the medium and lower tail of the power law where you have smaller communities where, say, you know, Shava will find the people that she's interested in talking with on the issues that she's interested in. And it doesn't matter if they're rocketing to the front page of Gather or everyone in Gather is reading Shava. What matters to her is that the people she wants.
So it's a question of what your preferred topology is. Would you rather be Huffington Post, where people from around the web go in order to read the very top of the best of the best? Or is your idea that you will have success means that you have 100,000 communities or 20,000 communities,
diversity, right.
Each of which may have a power law or may not.
Right.
Community small enough to talk about a power law, but no community perhaps is getting lots of views.
Well, I think that the reason we believe that community selection will drive membership is because it provides a good experience for the average user. The reader matters at least as much as the contributor in this case. And if you've got, if you provide simply the average quality content on any topic, you're going to have such a, well, by its nature, mediocre experience that you're not going to be building readership. So our goal is to provide a system that brings great contributors to the top to provide a better and better reader experience. I think that it's probably important to recognize that article publishing and article recognition is one way in which people connect, but the other is through things like commenting and having your comments responded to. We just launched, and this is an early test for us, but we've got a number of high-profile columnists that have agreed to publish their standard columns on Gather. But also to come back and to react to comments that are being made from time to time on the site. And that's a differentiator between traditional newspapers. So George Will went live last week sending the liberals on the site
into a feeding frenzy.
As our first, and we should be launching them in pairs very clearly, I think right and left launching on the same day. But that's a situation where we're going to have some really high-quality thought leaders coming on that I think is going to be great for our audience, but the audience is participating at very high rates around Will's content. And part of the focus is because they want to see if the author responds. So they're actually interested in interacting with other intelligent people that have something to say on a topic. And it's the quality of content you get, but also the quality of interaction you get that I think is driving community for us.
A sign of success would be a tiered system in which you have a handful of George Wills, a relative handful.
Community identified experts is how I'd call it. So I'd say community identified experts, and it's I don't know that it's tiered so much as the sliding scale. There are Amazon, and I was just trying to find where they do it, but Amazon identifies
as opposed to Erica's model, which is lots of
communities, each of which could have some value.
Well, and again, we break it down that way too. We allow both to evolve, and then you can participate how you want.
In your vision of the site, what is it that you're thinking of?
Let me come back, David. I think our community has to drive the evolution of the infrastructure. I mean that very seriously. If I could turn over our product decision reins to the community directly, I would want to do it. I think that we are going to start off with improve.gather.com, which is a forum where anybody can contribute ideas, suggestions, and complaints. We're going to launch decision-making tools where we get the community to prioritize, because it turns out that everybody wants everything now. If you just turn it into a request system, of course. And then we've got to let the community drive it. So will it devolve into separate group systems with their own...
But there's an infrastructure here, and there's software.
Yeah.
It just from what your description today, it sounds like it's aiming at developing a relative handful, because attention, is a finite resource.
Sure.
A relative handful of great quality content. And that's what the software. I appreciate
it's to identify the best quality content. So let me give it to you, if I can, in my best terms. Our users create our content. Our users organize our content, and our users select the best of the content that's written on the site. So do we want to call out the best contributors? Absolutely, by letting the community identify them. And it is different from a Huffington Post or from a traditional media organization in the sense that it's a bottoms-up identification. Do we want to focus traffic in on those best contributors based on the content they're contributing each day? Yes. Because that creates a better reader experience. You're going to find higher quality content in the things around you which you feel passionate.
Bringing in George Will isn't the bottom-up.
Sorry?
Bringing in George Will
sure it is.
And famous people isn't
sure
the bottom-up.
Sure, the community decides where Will's content is prioritized. The community decides where Will's content is prioritized.
But if you migrated,
did they decide whether he was going to come in?
A list of
nor did they decide whether or not Shava could publish. We're going out to recruit. We're absolutely going out to recruit good thought leaders. I won't apologize for going out to recruit bright people to gather to contribute. I won't apologize for going out to recruit great, phenomenal thinkers in the blogosphere to contribute. We're doing those things actively because we want a bright, engaged community. And we hope they'll bring with them other bright, engaged, thoughtful, prolific people.
And you don't worry that will displace any of the... I mean, so if you brought in 100 A-list bloggers...
I got an email asking me to contribute to Gather, and I responded to it saying that you guys had contacted me in the past and I'd be happy to talk, and I never got an answer back.
besides that, I'm just wondering, two questions.
We'll be in touch on that one.
One is there a sort of a displacement effect or you now create a new tool, sort of user-generated publishing? You bring in the professionals who are realizing there's an economic incentive, and it's also a marketing strategy for you to get traffic around this, and it sort of ties into what David was asking about, which is, ultimately does that start to shape, even to the extent you're wanting the users to be shaping this experience?
Well,
and how much does that relate to the business model of the whole thing? I mean, if the business model is all ad-driven,
Advertising is our initial primary revenue stream.
Primary revenue stream. Yeah. So which of these strategies would make that a more successful path?
And is that compatible?
Well, I want to answer that first.
Right. Yeah. So we've already identified there are 36,000 unique tags in the system. They're going to be experts on every one of those tags. In fact, the system already generates them. So I just randomly picked out, because I like high-risk demos, Mexico, right? We've got initial Mexican content, and we've got our top two writers on Mexico. And you can see the postmodern traveler coming up and other things that are Mexico. Gather.com/beer will have a different set of most commented on articles and things that are beer or beer related, who the most read authors are, the most commented on authors are. This really it allows users to drill into whatever their area of interest happens to be and see, again, community-identified thought leaders. If we go out and recruit, I can't go out and recruit.
The Beer Expert or the Beer Advocate Monthly decides to start republishing its articles.
So the American Heritage Dictionary,
category.
Well, maybe, if the community likes it best.
Right.
If the community responds to it. And if they do, It should. Mm-hmm. This is a true marketplace of ideas. And the community is deciding what rises to the top. So the American Heritage Dictionary publishes. Can they? Sure. What do they publish? Their weekly word of the day. Does the community respond? Turns out, yes. In fact, today, the word curfew has 6 comments. Now, Mackie Buck wrote questions to the American Heritage Dictionary. She wrote questions to the American Heritage Dictionary on their content, and she's getting responses from other users. And this is really beginning to build community around their content. Should they be at the top of the words category or word history category? Heck yes, if they're delivering the best word content. It's like the eBay analogy. Today, you go on eBay and Dell is one of the biggest sellers on eBay, one of the biggest computer sellers on eBay. Should Dell be the top-rated computer seller? Yes. Why? Because they're selling computers at the best price, at the highest quality of an eBay seller.
I have a follow-up question to that, though.
Sure.
So you've got the pros and the amateurs coming in here and competing for attention in the community.
Yeah.
The pros are paid. They're paid to go find your word of the day. They know how to write. They're paid to write and so on. Isn't it natural that the pros are going to rise to the top eventually because they're pros?
Yep.
And the amateurs are going to be further down. I mean, not always.
I don't think that's happening.
But, I mean, we're starting to see that happening in the blogosphere.
Yeah.
And will that happen here as well?
Yeah. I think...
with a few glamorous exceptions.
Well, no, I think, again, it's going to end up being the best contributors that rise to the top. And no doubt some people will get benefit of the doubt for brand recognition. I'll let Shava hop in here. I'm sorry. But again, it is because it's community selected stuff. I think that it will, the community will respond to who they respond to, and we hope it will be the highest quality folks. And we're going to continue showing the quality ratings on top. That's why we default to quality and not just viewership, because we don't want. We don't want Paris Hilton's phone book to be the number one piece of content on Gather. We want a more engaged, informed discussion and debate. Well, and I don't know if that's true. I don't know if professionals are media brands because they have distribution or because they're the best quality contributors. I guess we'll see. My gut is that if you take... If you take hundreds of thousands of people writing on a topic, one of them's going to write something better than your average professional on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
Though, they'll go back and look at Christoph's column from the New York Times on March 19th on Darfur last week, which I think was a brilliant piece about how we as bystanders are causing more harm than those, in fact, causing the harm. And that should be, in my mind, a top recognized piece, and I wish he were contributing on Gather.com and not on the New York Times Select instead. Sorry? Times Select, yes.
Yeah.
I am never going to probably publish the most read letter to the editor in the Washington Post on George Will's most recent column. But on Gather, I can write, a comment that is a small blog article on George Will's article that links off to the article that I just wrote 3 days earlier on the same topic because it's a topic that's current in the news.
That's only while it's relatively small that you're going to be able to do that. It's not a personal comment about you, but
yeah. So, I will say that ask not of the elves for they will answer yes and no. Yes, at the moment, I'm going to be able to do that, and it's going to be, mind you, there were like a zillion comments on his stuff, but most of them were noise. There were very few comments that actually had anything cogent in them. If I end up with a bunch of people who come to Gather or who are in the Gather community who come to read George Will's post, and then they find out that they've got somebody else who's writing interesting stuff and they want to come back and read. And I got, I think, 4 connections off of one comment on George Will's second post, I think, not the baseball one, that he posted on the site because people saw that. Now, if I can be number 2 after Lynn Rosetta Casper,
who does Splendid Table on PRI for my writings on food, or if I can be number two after George Will on my political stuff, I don't mind, because I'm not going to have an opportunity to have that happen.
But when there's a long tail, you'll be able to do that. 99.9999% of people won't be.
Again, the highest quality contributors will.
Something different.
The highest quality contributors will be presumably the people who rise to the top, and that's what we're focused on driving.
Eric doesn't want to jump in.
Actually, I have two things to say. One for myself, and then one for somebody on IRC who has a question.
Cool.
So, for the comment that I just want to make about all this is that you might want to look at ways to flag comments individually as well as posts, so that, because one of my experiences, I've been blogging on LiveJournal for 4 years, which is also a community.
Yeah, I know LiveJournal. Yep.
And people frequently will meet each other in the comments threads of feed journals, which aren't monitored at all by the original author of the content, which aren't even initiated by the original author of the content. I mean, I know a couple who met on the Boing Boing feed comments page.
Yeah.
like things like that happen. So there's a lot of community building to take place in the comments. What could be useful is if the same kind of models that you're applying in terms of evaluation and rating and ways of bumping threads or comments up to the top could be applied to the comments themselves to highlight, because Shava's comment on George Will's article might be worthy of being an article itself, and just because it's written as a comment to his doesn't necessarily mean that it's not.
I completely 100% agree. Absolutely, completely 100% agree that comments are, in our mind, comments are as important a type of content as original articles. And we need to do a much better job in organizing them, in letting the community decide what good comments and good comment threads are and what bad comments and bad comment threads are. I've been paying a lot of attention to commenting systems and whether or not, in fact, David and I on the T on the way over here were debating. We've got user requests to allow comment removal on their articles. And we're having a big debate in a site that encourages free speech whether or not you allow comment removal. And you allow groups to remove comments that they think are inappropriate on group articles? Or do you lean toward a system? And if anybody has feedback on this, either here or online, we'd love your thoughts on improve.gather.com. But sorry for the pitch there. But we would love your thoughts on this topic here or elsewhere. Or do you go to Slashdot as a model where you have people rate comments and those below, meta moderators, and then you moderate the. Moderators, yes. Or do you come up with some kind of... Exactly. Or do you have just comments rated and you show only comment ratings above a certain threshold? Letting the author reorder the comments.
Or choose their favorite comment to be up at the top. There was a bunch of things we went through when we were debating this.
Yeah.
But my observation, for example, with multiplayer... My observations with any kind of multiplayer or large community site, it doesn't matter if we're talking about really Gather or Star Wars Galaxies.
No.
Is that the community starts out small, it defines its own rules, it has a certain amount of influence with the company. And then the company gets interested in making more money, makes huge mistakes, pisses in the pool, and everybody leaves. So, when I've gotten to the point, I'm sorry.
That's the future.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I'm really having fun here. The way that Web 2.0 companies are likely to turn over in the next, 2 years, if it takes 2 years to get to the point where people can't break into the space, it doesn't matter, because either the space will have adjusted, it will have developed a culture that can adapt to it, or it will be dead.
Right.
And I would not be Tom, and to some extent for all the world, because he has to be psychic and agile in a space that nobody has really figured out, where we know more of the problems than we have any idea how to make the solutions, and the technology is changing out from under him every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, sitting there and saying, well, how are you going to deal with this? Because we know that there are problems is not a really good way for criticizing this site anymore than it is.
No, we're not trying to understand how it works.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but But we don't know how it works. That's part of
the problem. Well, we're trying to understand what Gather's vision is
yeah.
of how it works.
What have you, what have
sure.
You,
let me. Let me. There
that.
Was an IRC question
IRC,
to follow up.
The guy from IRC was wondering whether there's been sort of an effect on niche communities or niche topics, niche tags, whether it's actually been easier for people to find that sort of thing people were interested or not. Like, what sort of... He was curious. I expect you probably don't have any metrics about if you're looking at obscure topics versus mainstream topics, whether there's more representation or less representation.
Sure. Guy on IRC. Do we have a name?
Michael.
Thanks for joining us. We actually just made an important change to the site, and I think we've got some more work to do on it. But we originally allowed organization on two different taxonomical structures. One was a set editorially selected taxonomy, and another was community-defined tags. If you go across the top, we've had user feedback. And again, we've got a group that is not a Web 2.0 audience typically. These are... We're trying to really cross the chasm with the project, with the product, and engage a broader audience, both domestically and abroad. And so we have eliminated the taxonomy because the most requested enhancement on the site was topics that didn't exist. And I don't think we ever once got the same request twice for a topic, but everybody thought they had a new topic that should be a top-level topic that wasn't. And that alone identified for us that we couldn't possibly define what was going to interest our community. We then meant exclusively to a tag system, but wanted to still make it easy for people to find the things that they liked. And for that reason, we put out some suggested tags, which users don't seem to be finding. And it might be the format of our tag toolbar across the top. Might be that we just haven't quite hit the right list. But I think that the tag system has allowed people to drill down deeper into the site. They were already using it when we had tags and taxonomy 5 times more often than they were using taxonomy as a navigational element. So we felt pretty good removing the standard editorially selected taxonomy. But I think what we've got are people digging deeper for sure into the website, particularly because you can find groups that are on a topic now listed by tag. But we also have done that at the risk of confusing some of the folks who are not as familiar with the tagging space and, frankly, who don't know what the word tag means. And so we're looking at ways of making tags more accessible to a tag-unaware audience.
Yeah.
So I should interrupt and say it's 2 o'clock, so if there are people who need to wander off, this is your chance.
Thank you all for those who might have to do that. Thank you.
I kind of sense that you feel that there's too much criticism being thrown and
too much
negativity kind of from the tone of what
But just to
explain that a little bit, I mean, I'm looking at this as a potential user who signed up a long time ago and went, you know, I don't think this serves my needs at all. Bye. And so I'm trying to figure out, you know, what it would be that would, like, made me interested in using this, and so I'm throwing out a lot of questions, and it seems to me, you know, and I'm figuring also that these folks want some constructive, you know, from my perspective, unless something has RSS, unless its tagging system integrates with the tag stuff that I'm already using, whether it can link into the communities I'm already part of, I can throw my Flickr feed on it, whether I can hack my own page. I'm not interested, but I'm not a typical user either.
But what you're hearing from me partially too is that I have gone through a lot of these points in terms of the laundry list that you just went through is something that I decided to give up for a while to go and hang out here because I like the people.
Right. Yeah.
And so what you're hearing
is more generous than I am.
Well,
it's
a community.
That's
a
community, not technology. Right.
And let me also hop in, if I can. I think one of the key things that we in this space often forget is that the technologies that we consider last year's are often still not understood by the vast majority of people out there. RSS is a great example. The argument I had with my board about where to prioritize RSS ended up in a little experiment that I asked them to do, which was to walk out onto the street and to ask 5 people what RSS was. And if they knew, if they thought they knew, or if they knew what RSS was, and if they thought they knew to define it. And in almost all cases, they ended up with people who didn't have a clue what RSS was. Now, for those that sit in the blogosphere that are active consumers of information, is it a useful technology? Of course it is. But most people don't know how it works. They don't know how to enable it.
But that's kind of like going out and asking people on the street, do you know what CDMA is?
No, it's not. Because I don't think users take advantage of all good technologies, right? Betamax lost. So let me show you how, bless you. So I think we can make it more, what I'm saying is we can take in the gather space and make things more accessible to our community. So here is a list of my network's activities, right? These are the people I follow on Gather. They're my friends, they're my family, they're my colleagues. And I have the ability to see, all right, great. What are their comments? Who's commenting on what? Or what are their articles? What are their new images? And our users do this without understanding how to use an RSS technology. By combining some of the things that we consider old hat onto a single community platform, we also make them much more accessible. And we make them accessible to a group of users that may never be able to figure out how to use a desktop tool to subscribe to content online.
Just your self-selection for a community. You said there's something about the community. What is what's the nature of this community versus something else, and why do they self-select in certain ways? I mean, is there a character that's coming out of this? In a kind of discourse that is unusual?
I think there is. I think we've really targeted an engaged, informed demographic, and the community has been trying to enforce that. So it is, I mean, the reason we skew toward, the reason we partnered with public radio initially was because we wanted people who were going to create content like what public radio users might consume.
So that's what
might
the
consume.
Affinity, that's the affinity glue, right?
Yeah.
Not the technology.
And it's,
we're not founded on sort of a technology like a gig or a delicious way to focus purely on the technology.
Right. That's what
and it's older, so they're not necessarily people who are thinking about delicious on daily. They haven't heard of delicious, and the way their URLs can't spell delicious.
Right.
So they don't know where to put the dots, and any company has figured it out. So the point is that this is not an audience that is. Shove is actually an exception to somebody who is looking for a platform to blog, but in that demographic. Most of these people are looking for a way to express themselves, but not necessarily blog or use RSS.
Right.
Blog a year ago was not a mainstream.
I mean, there are so many more concentric circles of people who are waking up to all of this stuff.
Right.
And we're here at Berkman Center in particular, we've been in the smallest target of our concentric circle. And Gather is focused at least one more loop out from that. And that makes a lot of sense. And there's another loop beyond that. That isn't even close.
Well, it's sufficiently rich for it to build. I mean, so they don't need the tools. It's just that intent alone that can actually start to build it. That's interesting.
Yeah. But I had go ahead.
It's really...
Sure.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with two questions. One was, so here it's working in this way and learning things from 20,000 users. What if you look at a MySpace with 50 million users, what are some lessons? you're saying, as I think you're right, like this is new. There aren't a lot of rules for the road in this kind of space, but there are examples out there of other thriving, large, growing, metastasizing communities. what are you learning?
Metastasizing.
What are you learning from the cities?
I think people will debate for a long time why MySpace took off and Friendster plateaued for a while. And I think one of the reasons is that MySpace gave users something to do once they were there. That browsing your network was interesting only for so long, and MySpace, by allowing people to publish more and more images, by allowing them to form groups when they wanted to, where you might remember Friendster banned groups, and in fact, when users tried to create them by creating fake users that were the, Boston Irish Club, and people would connect into them, they would remove the Boston Irish Club, so they went against user feedback. I think MySpace gave people something to do as a community and let them do the things that they wanted to do. When I was originally thinking about Gather, I was watching MySpace and Friendster very early on when Friendster had the lead. But what I found intriguing was the loyalty that MySpace users had to the site. Their page views per user per day were climbing. And to me, that was a sign that they gave their users more and more to do. And that was a key reason for them to keep involved.
But what I do sense a difference, and maybe it's an impression, is that, that MySpace is social. There's another a social dimension that is visible there.
Yeah.
It's not as visible here. And it may just be a question of business.
There's a two-word challenge.
There is a social...
But you see what I mean? This is still sort of a print metaphor, right, in some sense.
We have decided...
there, it's getting to know you.
MySpace is absolutely organized around the user and their social network. In fact, if you want to drill into a topic like a favorite band, it's hard to do. You've got to drill into user and then content in many cases. You can now search, but you had to for a long time drill into the user and then into the content to find content on a given topic. It wasn't tag organized. It wasn't topically organized. It wasn't back then band organized despite the music heritage. Gather definitely moves the needle in the other direction, which is a content focus, a topical focus. But we do let you see what's going on in your network. What is your network publishing? What are your friends and family publishing?
But the community is also inventing games.
I belong to
a group called Two Word Challenge. And every week, it's like, okay, by Wednesday, somebody send me email. I did the last one. Somebody send me email, and I will, and I'll let you make the next challenge. Right. This week, you look up at the stuff up there, you'll see Two World Challenge and Feather Light are popular tags. And that's because the challenge is for a whole group of people who write for the site to incorporate the phrase, two-word phrase, Feather Light, into something that they write. It could be or it can be an image. So we're creating games, we're playing with each other, we're discovering new friends through that.
That's my point. Because is there an interface to the real world through these kind of interactions that lead to something? And I think that's sort of the... And MySpace seems to do that more. And then I think in Second Life.
And browsing...
Learning from Second Life.
Browsing, Second Life's interesting.
You see, because, I mean, there's a lot of things here where you spontaneously create new kinds of ways in which people can relate to one another.
Right. And frankly, we were watching our users... I mean, groups became a heavy focus for us because we watched our users trying to form groups around unique tags.
Right.
So they would tag something with a nonsense word or a word combination... that was their way of trying to connect around something. I think the first game played on the site was 1WRD, something like that. And let me just...
I think it was one word all spelled out.
I thought they...
Maybe it was WRD.
The
other thing is that I am trying to start doing real world stuff. We had one thing where we got people together even before we had email or groups, which made the logistics difficult, where we had a bunch of foodies on Gather who were local to Boston who went out down to Haymarket one weekend.
Right. That I actually loved watching. This is, how do offline communities do different things?
And
starting to happen with group organization already.
And we have this week Boston gathering group.
Do we?
Yes,
cool.
I created.
There's a lot of those on the site.
I haven't been invited to that one, I want you to know.
Well,
so you're having a lot of
David,
did you, global
I'm sorry,
sort of
I think
communities.
David had a question for a while, though. Okay, go
ahead. I was wondering, because when I hear you describe Gather and you talk about things that you're planning, like bringing or having brought George Will on and other, I guess, famous writers, there's a tremendous focus on publishing as opposed to community like that when we're drawing, and I just want to push this a little bit because when you talk about eBay and when I hear you talking, you're like, we want to make sure that the content is above average, we want to make sure that we have the best stuff here. Going back to the analogy of eBay was setting up infrastructure for a community marketplace, but the goal wasn't to sell necessarily the best car or the best book. And here, just, and I'm just wondering from how you're describing it,
it
sounds more like the sort of like latent push is on a publishing platform, not a community platform with the directed content.
Our mantra, I understand what you're saying. Our mantra is to connect people around shared passions. But to do that, we think we want to have... I mean, and eBay did grow in the early days by recruiting the best individual sellers. They went out and actively recruited the best standalone storefronts, mom and pops, as eBay sellers. That was one of their key business development growth methods early on. I think that what we want to do is get the thought leaders, the people that are going to be most interesting to hang out with, to be on Gather. We always... joked in the early days that we want Gather to feel like that dinner party that you went to where after you'd been there 4.5 hours and had the most inspiring conversation in your life, you were dying for it to go on just a couple more hours, but you knew everybody had to work in the morning, and so you eventually left. But it's where you're going to meet really interesting people. And we're not, you know, we're not recruiting as a main method. I threw out Will as one example. We're not recruiting famous people for the sake of famous people. We're trying to recruit people that have something really interesting to say. So it might be top chefs in Vegas, where Vegas is developing a great foodie community. Go figure. But my apologies to the Tourist Board of Las Vegas, Tourism Board of Las Vegas. But, you know, are they celebrity chefs? I don't know. They run a great restaurant in Vegas, or they run a great restaurant in upstate New York. But they're people who I think are really interesting to connect with because they're doing novel things, they're thinking interesting things, and we want to get them at every level. And it's going to be some people that you recognize because they've got big personality and they're thought leaders with a media brand, but it's also going to be other people that are just thought leaders. I mean, Bill Bradley's not a media brand anymore. We put Bill on our board because he connects with a lot of really interesting, thoughtful people that truly do shape how our society organizes, and we want to recruit them, many of whom aren't going to be people that the American public or the global Gather community recognize, but they'll be interesting people to talk to.
Back to the business model issue.
Yeah. I'll try it.
Because on one hand, we're saying, you know, we want the community to build this to what it wants to be, but in order to get advertising revenue, you have to drive it in another way.
I don't think so. Not at all. I don't think so at all.
Which may sometimes be in contradiction with that.
Again, I think connecting people... See, it's our premise is that connecting people around the very best content on a topic is a great way to build community. If you get the people that are most interested in saying the most interesting stuff on whatever, food, religion, travel, Rio, you know, you name it. Gather.com/parenting.
Okay.
You're going to connect parents. I guarantee you around the parenting topic.
So I think the part of this is a difference in what expectations around topologies of communities. So I think, first of all,
I think a lot of what
you're hearing is not objections or criticism of the site, but rather poking at your characterization of the site, which I'm still not sold actually matches up with what the site looks like in terms of the structure of its software is intended to do. Now, so let me be really clear.
Yep.
If I possibly can do, which I probably can't. I actually had two very small... about four people or five people have said basically the same thing, which is there seems to be a disharmony between the goal of producing the very best content and the goal of creating community. Nothing wrong with that, and both are totally worthy aims, so I don't think anybody's criticizing that. So your response just now, which was really interesting, is I think you're taking this for granted from the very beginning, but it's good to hear you say it, that your aim is to connect people around their shared passions, and connecting people around the very best content on the topic is a great way to build community. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to build a certain type of community, it's a tentpole community. That has one recognized figure here, and everybody is talking about what that person says. And inevitably, as the communities get bigger, they can't all have equal voices even in the comments. Because if there are 400 commenters, just some of them are going to do better than others. Just the way it is. So that's one type of community, sort of a tentpole community. Whereas there's another way of doing this that says communities are people who don't have stars, that they're not around a star content person, but we're connecting people who may not, the vast majority of them are necessarily going to be mediocre in what they produce, because that's the definition of mediocre.
Right.
And the community builds around that without having a center pole. Obviously, the communities either way. But that's what's causing me, at least, to hear a dissonance between what the site looks like it's doing and succeeding at, which is it succeeds by surfacing great content, mm-hmm. and then we can have community sort of hanging around the bottom of it, versus a site that says, you know what, everybody's got something worthwhile to say. Let's build a community of equals,
And let them talk.
I just give you one example of this. We have a business partner, which is American Public Media. They provide us with a lot of food content from Spud the Table. The three most popular food people on the site are just the people who put the most attention to. So it's Kevin Weeks and this woman, Farm Girl Susan, and this third person, Kurt Michael Fries. And they are, Kurt Michael Fries just came on a couple of weeks ago, and he's become a popular writer in that area of the site. Spud the Table has done nothing, even though it's a recognized brand in the site. It's got very little popularity. It's not subscribed to very highly. And so I think what happens on a community like this is that people ebb and flow through the system. Some people become popular because they've got the time. One of the reasons why Spud the Table has not risen to popularity is because they haven't put the time into it that the bloggers have. But I think over time you see people ebb and flow through the system and create their own little community and take it in a new direction. So, you know, now we have a travel and food writer who writes about the food that he eats in different places. And he's popular both in the travel section and the food section. And I think just like the blogosphere has people who rise and fall over time and sort of the B and the C level of the blogosphere, we have a lot of people who all don't care about A, B, and C. They just care about, at a certain point in time, they have a lot of energy to write about something. And they become popular, and then it ebbs, and then a new community forms. The great thing for me about the reason why I joined Gather is that the ability for the community to ebb and flow is our job is to make sure they always have the tools available to them to do what they want to do, and not to worry about whether it's a temple community or whether it's a Black community. I just think there's...
No, let me actually. Okay, let me also.
Whether it's the old people who are the Ten Poles or George Will.
Let me take it back.
There is a difference between those two things, but it's the same orientation.
Right. Let me please, if I can. I think that. Let me hit two things. I finally understand what you've all been saying, so thank you for staying with it. And forgive me for being the slow one in the room. I'll fall to the bottom of the list, I think, of contributors here today. And I'm going to connect it with something we've heard from our community. We chalk this up to central planning against community knowledge, central planning losing out against community knowledge. In our redesign most recently, we removed something that our users liked a lot, which is recent articles on the homepage. People wanted to be able to browse down and just see what was being published by the community and ignore the quality parameters. Now, the higher quality stuff we call out does get more traffic and we think does create a better user experience, but they care a lot about, A, when they publish, being heard, so being on a front page list, and B, I think, seeing article after article come up every few minutes as they're being published on the website. We've also been, I think, criticized on the design front in having way too much going on the Gather site. And admittedly, it's hard to decide where your eye should go when you come to this page. And so we're going to be working on simplification. And the question I think I arrive at is, how do you deal with these different priorities of, A, wanting to create a good content experience for those that want to focus in on the top content, and B, wanting to let communities of equals exist, which is really what's happening in our groups. So if I drill into the Haiku group, you'll see that they haven't featured content. They're just publishing because they are folks interested in having fun with haikus, and I'm a little bit afraid to open one for you. But
we can handle it.
Yeah. Let's just say,
is that right?
You know, you'll find, but I mean, they're not focused on prioritizing content. They're focused on just having fun with haiku poetry. And so we are absolutely going to be bringing back elements like recent content published and bringing it back into different areas of the site so that you're going to see a greater breadth of content that's being published by the community rather than just the prioritized. How do we deal with that in a world where our interface is already too complex or there's already too much stuff being shown? Well, it's going to be through a customized interface. It's going to be through letting you decide what you see and do you want to see the best rated thinkers or all thinkers in a space. And a modularized, customizable Gather is on our top priority list to create a better experience for our users. And by better, I mean the one that each user wants. And I think that will let people who want to focus in on the thought leaders in an area do that. It will let those that want to actually interact with everybody in a group do that. And my gut is that that hits the right balance in the sense that there are, I think there are relatively few communities where thought leaders don't emerge, where there aren't more prominent voices. Whether or not they're better voices, I don't know, but they're more prominent voices.
Yeah.
And the, and so that happens in every community I know.
This long tail thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way bloggers look at it, but that's not the way the community looks at it. The community looks at it like this. And right now we've got lots and lots of readers, we've got some commenters, and we've got a tiny little tail of writers and syndicators. And in a year, we're going to have these people who are, you know, moderate to late adopters who come there to read are going to start getting brave enough to comment because they're going to see ordinary people who are who they like, who they start to want to connect to, and they're going to end up with some number of readers, most people who live more in the commenter space, and maybe a few more writers. But it's, I don't think this is a site much as...
Tom,
well, you know, I was going to say gather, you know, much as the architects of the site want there to be good content on the site, because when somebody comes in, don't want them to sit there and go, God, this is schlock, you know, and that's a good thing for somebody coming in from nowhere. This is what people are going to be seeing from the inside of the community, and that's a different view. And so where it sounds like a disconnect, it's actually a disconnect between what you see as a new person in the community, I think, and what you see as a person who's developed the network. It's a site that grows on you.
Let me ask for a couple more questions, and then I think right at about 2:30 we should wrap, because I've got a flight west, I'm afraid. And if anyone is going out to the Venture One conference, let me know, and maybe I can get my middle seat next to you. Sure.
I'm glad to hear you're moving towards a more customized interface, but I would rather, I'd like to see that person go one step further so that I can see on my page the people that matter to me. So not, it's sort of the daily me, but applied to this.
Yeah.
Which kind of happens if you subscribe to authors and gather, they're on your page.
Right. So if you subscribe to content, you can
I
go in and see.
Because I know the authors. That, this is a way of distributing. Right. So I know some of the authors who I want on my page, but I want to find people I don't know.
Right.
Because I want to know who you're reading.
Yeah.
But not who you're reading.
Yep.
But that's relatively complex.
Well, we do. I mean, we right now show you, for example, if I go to David's page, I can see who David is subscribed to. So I can surf.
Just got on David.gather, David. This David.
Sorry. So this is David.
I'm D1.
Yeah. So I can go in and see David's groups and also David's. David is subscribed to a number of different users and organizations, and so I can go in and see where David is subscribed to different people.
Can you keep your group subscriptions private even if the group is public?
You're either a member of a group or not. You can...
In other words, could David be subscribed to some groups that I wouldn't see he subscribed to even if the groups themselves were?
Subscriptions can always
subscriptions
be kept
only.
Private, yes.
Groups,
but you can't be a member of a group and keep your membership private.
Yeah.
That was one of the decisions we made. A group... Members can either see other members, that is, well, members can always see other members. You're either in a private group where everyone can see the membership or a public group. Sorry.
Right,
you get the idea.
So you can't be a lurking group.
Yes.
Yes.
Lurking. It's probably not the right group for an Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right. Well, no, if you're a member of a private group, that won't show up on your group's page.
That's correct.
So
no one can see you're a member of a private group. Right. That's correct.
They see if you're
you can't be a private member of a public group.
That's correct.
That's right.
Can I control my email from you?
You can, yes. So if I'm logged in. No, that's a great question. So
here's some feedback. I looked for that. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, thank you. Go under My Info. And under My Info is Preferences.
Okay, so I'm just
and gonna... bottom of the page is under
Major
Preferences.
Point.
Sorry, no. I'm...
So
I had to earn a little credibility back after my...
Fire.
I just wanted to talk for 2 seconds before we wrap up on the business model. So you were alluding to, I keep trying to circle back to this. You haven't got a chance to talk about it. You created your own sort of advertising CPC engine.
Right.
For impressions.
That's right.
So you're not doing it through other third parties, like Google Ads and things like that.
That's correct. Advertiser.gather.com.
Advertiser.gather.com. And then you're sharing that revenue with the users on some formula that's of your own making.
That's right. Based on quality and popularity.
It's more of your, what do you call them?
Members?
Stewards and advisors. And you're starting to empower more of those people. I think they'll want to say. And some of that'll be interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, we I'll tell you, the reason we keep it confidential now is to avoid gaming of the system. And
so eventually, when you figure out the gaming, you'll rip the cover off? And
we may, yeah. We may make it. We will no doubt make it more transparent. The question is how transparent.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And then is there another part of the business model other than selling ads against these behavioral targeted anonymized profiles?
Yeah. I think there's a lot we can do as a Gather community, and we'll begin to do. There's a commerce angle where we can provide additional value for our members by providing a discounted shopping angle. So Ebates. Do folks know Ebates? Okay. Ebates is a site that uses affiliate technology, something I really know well, to earn commissions on every sale made. I really hope they're still there since I just referred to them. Yes, and they pay a percentage of sale back to their members. We can do the same thing to create a value add for our members. I think anytime you have a large community, there are a number of different ways you can provide value to them. This is a great one by getting, we get referral fees for the members going through to sellers, and we can share that back with our members because we've already got an established compensation system. We've got the ability to create member focused products. Oddest darn thing, right? Public Radio launched this Citizens of the World tour,
BUR
locally, but then APM for Prairie Home launched a cruise. They chartered a cruise ship. And if you took a look at the prices of their Prairie Home companion cruise versus the same ship, same itinerary, a week before or a week after, you'd find that it was a higher margin adventure for them. Ended up being very successful. They sold out in 3 days of online promotion and one mention on the show. And they've got a waiting list of already a ship's worth of travelers for the next one. This is, I think, a testament to the fact that you can create products that link a community that the community wants. They might be a dining series, city by city. They might be a travel series. But we'll find other ways to provide value to our customers, our Gather members, and launch additional revenue streams in what we hope will be an unobtrusive format. We may also, for people that want to host an awful lot of content, I hate to say it. In fact, I'm not going to say it because we haven't even thought about it. But right now, there's no limit on what you can post. We say there's a 1 gigabyte limit, but yeah, but there's not. And I think, there will be an argument to be made that people will want to have files stored in a private format where it doesn't make sense to have an ad-driven system, and we should let them do that. I don't know if you remember xDrive. But I think that there's, I don't know if they're still around. Anyone there? I mean, I think there's network data opportunities that where you have a community and you might want to share that data in interesting ways.
Right.
Way to go.
If I post porn, which I'm allowed to do as long as it's marked,
yeah.
I grant you a worldwide, royalty-free, perpetual, unlimited, non-exclusive license to distribute, reproduce, modify, adopt, create, distribute, or publicly perform public license content.
It's true.
So you just take that tag and start charging the outside world and say,
you
made your investors
time. It's fantastic.
You unveiled it.
It is so...
The secret model.
Yeah.
It
is. It's... as long as you do that under the cover by, I think, 4 or 5 recent IPOs, you can get away with it. And under the cover's perhaps a bad pun. Moving on. Anything else?
gathered you out.
Thank you all. Good. We hope to see you on Gather, and please feel free to drop by at 85 Devonshire anytime.